It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
They act like gents. That's a right decent.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. And the Washington Commanders won on a Hail Mary that is absolutely the talk of the United States of America.
Yes.
Me and B holding it down in College Park, Maryland, home of the Terrapins. We got a blood drive. We're trying to help some people do some good things. Good morning, Brian.
What up, Jay?
You and I saw each other last night after that game. We were in the tunnel. It was sheer chaos in there.
It was bedlam.
So, where were you for the Hail Mary?
I was standing midway up the tunnel,
okay,
trying to look at the field and at the TV.
The TV in the hallway going down to the locker room?
No, the one that's,
the one above the tunnel.
The one above where you saw me at.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was in the press box, and as things are kind of unraveling there, you wonder. So, Jaden takes the snap, rolls right.
Did he have that thing about 15 seconds?
13 seconds. After the game, DQ was like, that was a long-ass play.
But think about it. The play, this was what threw me a little bit. I looked up on the clock. It was supposedly 18 seconds on the clock. They ran one play, then it was 5 seconds on the clock. What the hell happened right there?
I'll try to pull it up. They called a timeout at 6 seconds. No, they It was
18, then it stopped at 5.
First and 10 at the 24. Jaden goes deep to Ertz over the middle, incomplete. Then second and 10 from the 24. Jaden connects with Ertz for 11. They had to call their time out there. So it went from 12 to 6.
Okay, I just looked at it last
then they were able to
it was
get,
18.
They were able to get one more playoff to Terry for a 13-yard gain, and he got out of bounds. Which, honestly, if you're the Bears, like, that might be
that was the backbreaker right there.
Because it makes it a reasonable throw, because then you've got the ball at midfield. It was first and 10 from the 48, 2 seconds left. I mean, the play was unbelievable. You don't want to start to dive into too much grandiosity, but, like, what the hell do these guys have cooking? All week, I mean, Jaden was clearly beat up. I'm not saying he was hurt, but, like, he doesn't feel great. He took a couple shots to the ribs. We know
they were trying to. They were trying to get in his head. They were hitting him late. They were trying to get in his head. Big
Bears have a good defense too.
Yeah.
I mean, they deserve some credit. It was, but to win like that was just so spectacular, so unexpected, and all of it. It just kind of continues to add up, and it's. Brian, I've covered probably every game for that team for over a decade,
mm-hmm.
and I've watched games since I was a boy, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
I've never experienced something like that in a home. No, there have been bigger games, right? There have been playoff wins and Super Bowl wins, and even, like, of the new era, which has largely sucked, there still have been bigger games. Week 17, 2012, won the division, right?
Yes.
Like, there have been bigger moments. But no singular moment, no singular instance of that kind of play resulting in that kind of pandemonium and that kind of just ecstasy has existed.
It's just an extension of all the excitement that's been going on. You know, you look at this thing when they purchased the team. People were so excited then. Then you go to Adam Peters. Then you go to Dan Quinn. And you start getting some people in. All of a sudden, boom, you draft Jaden. It's like it's constant. And I forgot who it was yesterday. They said when you win games like that, it lets you know you're a good team. Because everybody likes to say, oh, that was luck. That was that. You know what? Know what happens? No, who's lucky? People that are good.
Well, and people that put themselves in position.
Hell yeah.
Terry McLaurin talked about this at his locker after the game. They practice that tip drill all the time.
Yeah.
He's like, DQ has us go through end-of-game scenarios. We practice that tip drill all the time. And look, that's something that there are probably some dudes that are like, man, why are we practicing this? This is never going to actually happen.
Now he got an answer for him.
Right. Like,
he got an answer for him now.
Is there an element of luck involved? Hell yes.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you put yourself in position to take advantage of that.
Well, I'll say this, Jay. Jaden Daniels came on our show right after the game.
Yeah,
immediately,
I saw that.
And I'm going to tell you this. That kid is so damn polished and good. He say, man, everybody's going to talk about that play right there. He said, but our defense won that game. He said the defense gave us an opportunity and kept us in the game the whole time. You look at it, 4 field goals, and the defense basically was not allowing a lot. You know, but if you keep putting them out there, you know, the other team, you got NFL players. They're going to make some plays eventually. But that defense yesterday, to me, they were playing the pass rush and all that. Newton, bad man.
Johnny Newton really had his coming out party.
Oh boy.
They weirdly haven't. I'm hoping this gets changed, but it might be a stupid rule thing. Johnny Newton had his first sack. It wasn't scored as a sack because technically Caleb might have been running backwards. I think it was a sack all damn day. I hope he gets it.
He behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, but if the scorekeeper determines that it was a designed run, which I don't think it was, I'm hoping it gets changed.
Yeah.
The rookie deserves his first sack. But then he also has a fumble recovery. They also got – what also helped is Shane Waldron. And why you're handing the ball off on a –
man,
on
refrigerated pair is not playing anymore.
Dude.
What the hell are you doing?
I mean, it was just so dumb. Caleb Williams was god-awful through three quarters of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And – the defense deserves a lot of credit, and whatever's going on with him is an issue. If you look defensively to your point, Brian, they were 2-12 on third down in this game. 2-12, the Bears. 2-12 on third down in this game. Penalties were a factor for both teams. They won in time of possession. Caleb, at halftime, I think, had 33 yards passing.
He was 4 of 12 or something like that at halftime.
It was – I think he was 3 of 12. And
he finished up 10 of 20-something.
Yeah, he finished
for 131.
10 of 24 for a $1.30.
Yeah. Which,
and Jaden, the yardage – now, the yardage is helped out by a 58-yard bomb at the end.
He still had 270 before that.
Right. And Jaden finished 21 to 38 for 326 with a touchdown, ran it 8 times for 52 yards. I think Jaden has shown and continues to show, but the guts of that kid are damn near impossible to measure.
Yeah.
And I've said this before, like, what matters – when you see your quarterback, because the quarterbacks get to operate in their own universe. Like, there's the team and then there's the quarterbacks.
Yep.
And the quarterbacks that can thread that needle to be part of everything and doing their own thing, they do it by showing how tough they are. That the old lineman with the bone bruise in his calf or the DB that's playing through a sprained tricep, like, those guys are gutting it out, right?
Yeah.
And when the quarterback does that, it just means so much to the locker room.
Especially if your quarterback is that type of quarterback, you know, and that elevation of it. You know, that quarterback right there definitely does it for you. I think what I look at ultimately is this. What Brett Favre did in Green Bay, when Brett Favre would get in Warren Sapp face and anybody else, your team say, I could back that guy. Jaden Daniels, he does it in a different way where he's so humble and he makes himself a part of everybody else, where guys want to go to war for you.
Totally.
So I was like, you know, all week I know you were banged up, and you know, how did you get through? He said, man, I did. I had the same routine. I was there at the same time. I was leaving at the same time I usually leave. He said, but I had a long stint in the training room to get myself here. And he wasn't – I don't think he was 100%. But who the hell was still look at that game yesterday and say he was not supposed to be on the field? You know what I mean? The guy, he's tough as hell. And ever since I saw – when I came here, I showed you that video I saw on social media.
Yeah.
When I saw that in my mind, and I was trying to keep it cool, I'm like, this dude's going to play. Dude cracks his ribs to go back in the game in college. and destroys the football team.
Yep.
You know, he has these weeks to get ready. You know, the NFL pro, they're going to allow him that opportunity to heal up. In college, he probably didn't wouldn't have had that opportunity like that. I felt he would go, and I think he was not completely on like he is, but he was on enough.
I was pretty certain. On enough. Yeah, look, I was pretty certain by Thursday afternoon he was going, to the point where if anybody saw me on NBC4 on Friday afternoon, we taped that on Thursday. Don't tell anybody. but, like, because, you know, I had to leave the radio. Like, I had something I had to do that afternoon. So it was, like, a unique situation. But then, certainly, when they let him talk to the media Friday afternoon, it's like, all right, this kid's playing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Vegas adjusts the line. Like, at some point, the mystery was over.
You know, you look for the Shefty to start putting out his little stuff. And
attempt
I'm like,
to try to play? Attempt to try to
attempt
practice?
Attempt to try was a little weird.
Right.
But then he starts saying the word. It looks like he's leaning toward. Once he says that means I'm just not telling y'all right now.
What?
I'm going to drag you along until the next day. And then on Saturday, you basically feel, he's playing.
One of my favorites was Schefter, I think it was Saturday, had to talk to one source. Sounds like Jaden Daniels will play. Quote, he's one tough-ass dude. I could think of one source in that building that used tough ass or long ass. That, like, that's his go-to descriptor, and I think we might know who that was. But regardless, Tracy Wolfson, here's what I'll say. Dan Quinton described the Hail Mary play last night as one long ass play. Tracy Wolfson was on the CBS broadcast yesterday, and she just tweeted this out. My Monday morning recap, I've been a part of a lot of incredible games, but that one is right at the top. Right now, it's Washington's world, and we are all living in it. Mm-hmm. When a team has it, things tend to just work out. Think Chiefs. This Commanders team is special.
Yep.
And that leaving that game, leaving that stadium – you know how I always call in? I called a doc on the post game. Mm-hmm. Couldn't even get through.
Hey, man. I left. So I was there an hour and something later. Like you're there later than me. But when I left, normally I could just roll out.
Right.
Wasn't no rolling out yesterday.
People were vibing.
The fans might have left out the building, but they didn't leave the parking lot.
Yeah, dude.
they were tailgating like hell out there, man, having a good time. So luckily I was just going only like 0.4 miles up the street.
Sure.
You know, to get where I was going, but it was the atmosphere was outstanding. And listen, Tanner and I are sitting there, bro. I had to apologize to Tanner. I think I almost broke his hand when I high fived him. You know, but dog, what was it? Channel 7, Abraham.
Yeah,
bro. I grabbed the two shoulders. I was jumping like I was 10 years old, man. It's like when you
– I mean, when I saw you by the time I
got down. Hey, man, when you're enjoying this thing, when things are going like it's going, I don't care who you are, former player, old person, young person, new, whatever, you're going to let it come out. And for people that don't want to believe things about this team right now, one finger salute to you. Get the hell out of here. Get out of here. They have proven enough about how good they could possibly be. And let's think about this. As Brian said last night, Brian Colbert, we haven't played our best game yet. We still haven't played a complete game.
Both sides of the ball.
Yes.
Yeah. Because offensively, they were at their best.
Three phases of the ball. Sure. Don't be forgetting about special teams.
Cincy, I think they played really good specials, too.
Yeah.
They haven't played all three phases
there you go.
Their best.
So just imagine that.
Yeah. You know what? Last night, we've been seeing this cocktail build of, like, the Snyder stench is finally gone, right? Like, he's been gone for over a year now. And how about the light show last night?
Yeah.
Like, how did you know that was coming?
No.
Bro, so there was the one thing they needed to invest
well,
in.
Well, when
over
it first happened,
Wi-Fi.
I was like, oh, hold on now. The light didn't go out. Did it?
Dude.
And then it started to move around. I'm like, okay, that was playing.
So for folks that didn't see this, because it was during a TV timeout, so they might not have shown it, it was, I want to say, fourth quarter. Now, it ends up that PR had texted, like, the group of reporters, hey, just so you know and are aware, there's about to be a light show. Don't be alarmed when the lights go out. But my phone was wacky yesterday, and I didn't get that text till like, after the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting there. I want to say it was fourth quarter. Maybe it was late third, whenever it was. But this is what, like, maybe they do it here in Maryland. Like, dope college football stadiums do these light shows.
Yeah.
And, like, the first time I ever experienced it was at the Bama-LSU game. But so they go to TV timeout. We're all in the stadium, and it just goes dark. Like, all the lights go off, and I was like, yo, did the electricity just go out? Like, what the hell just happened? Uh-huh. And then it was like 2-3 seconds of darkness, and then this wild light show. And it was just another reminder of how new and different everything is there. Because you know how you get dope-ass light shows, Brian? You spend money.
There you go.
Like some of things in life aren't that complicated. Ownership is putting the money in to make the scene, the vibe, the experience that much better. And at the end of that game, B, when I was just watching the players run into the locker room and the celebratory nature of everything, and then you go out on the field and the fans are still there just going nuts, and you see it on social media, you just kind of see it across the board, and you realize like they have this mix of new ownership, doing things the right way, willing to spend money to reinvest into the product.
Yeah.
And, dude, Adam Peters, you can pick which free agent signing you want to discuss or which draft pick you want to discuss. How about Noah Brown? How about the guy that caught the Hail Mary touchdown last night? He signed him when the Texans cut him, and he moved immediately to sign him.
Yep.
The moves Peters has made have hit so consistently.
Yes.
Go down a level. And, you know, there was a fair amount of consternation when Dan Quinn got the job, right? Oh, you can't hire a defensive guy. Oh, I think there was real burnout from the talk of culture during Ron's 4 years. Whatever DQ is doing, it's different and it's working.
You know what he's doing?
The level of buy-in.
What he's doing is actively getting the people to understand what he wants. He's not just saying it all the time. See, that little thing about if you say something often enough, people begin to believe it. No, you can say it all you damn want. If you don't put the work into it, it's not going to happen. And you can watch this football team, and things that they do on the field, they actively do during practice. They actively done since they got here in OTAs and all that. It's just a combination of, you know, all of a sudden it's starting to click. And it's starting to click on a regular basis. It's not all that talk. You know, like I was little saying, don't talk about it, be about it. They're being about it. We had too much talk going on before.
Dude, I totally agree with that. And if you just think about, okay, just think about like the levels, the tiers of it. Ownership on board.
Yep.
Front office, you got the guy. Coaching. A lot of coaching is just dialing the knobs up right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Cliff's offense, what they're doing defensively, the improvement and the buy-in of just the team vibe. And, Brian, then when you add the quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, it starts to look like, holy moly, they got something. You know what I mean?
It definitely does.
Something sustainable and something real and not just a sugar high like we've seen in the past. It's
I think what happens, though, coaching is understanding that your job rides on how well you communicate with those players. If they get exactly what you're saying and you can get it across to them the proper way, then great things will happen. But there are a lot of coaches out there who think it's all about them. Okay, they get caught up in that little hype. Like I've said to you before, coaches have bigger egos than players. Well, this coach here doesn't care about the ego. He cares about getting his players to play, and they're doing it for him.
I don't know that there's a lot of concern about ego on the team.
Yeah.
Sack totals, touchdown, you know what I mean? All that. Like, and that I would credit to a rookie quarterback in a lot of ways.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Jaden's not. Dude is not worried about his Instagram. He's not worried about his – remember, like, he had the thing with the waffles, and then I asked him about it. He's like, yeah, man, I got to tell you the truth. Like, somebody else handles that stuff. Like, I'm not really that invested. Like, he's just – that dude is about ball, and then the team in turn is about ball.
What I always say, Jay, if your first job is great, then you can think about a second. He's worried about the first job. How many guys you see come in and all they trying to do is – become something big off the field. But if you're not big on the field, you won't be big off the field.
And that's not to say that stuff ain't coming. I can imagine how many commercials are coming. Yes.
Because he's invested in the right thing. But too many people worry about what's going to happen instead of what they need to get done.
You got to credit like his family, his background clearly to develop a young man like to that level right now. But when somebody – Ryan Keel, I was texting with him this morning, and he's like, man – It's hard to ignore the momentum they're building right now.
Yeah.
And this is former players with Super Bowl rings that notice these things. You know what I mean? And as fans, as analysts, as media, as people that are surround it and have been around it for a long time, you see last night and you know something is different.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Now, listen, that had to be a strong pull for Lamphill to keep Michael Jackson Day going, even though Nikki was on the line and we normally hear Petey Pob. Nikki Jobvalla.
I would have changed this, but our computer broke and I can't change the song.
There you go. So, Nikki, I hope you don't mind a little MJ. How are you?
All good. All good.
You did a really good job. You and I were sitting there together watching that game, watching the Hail Mary and just how it all unfolded, and it was just pure chaos. I think you did a great job, though, pointing out, you know, a lot has changed in the universe as it comes to newspapers, and the actual print version sometimes are, like, so memorable and arguable works of art. And I love that you tweeted out the picture. I don't know if McDonald took that or what, but the picture of Noah Brown 4 yards behind the scrum catching that Hail Mary on the cover of the Post Sports section is just so damn cool.
It was an awesome cover. Like, our Matt Bonsia, he came up with the headline, which I thought was just perfect, and the way it was laid out, I loved it. To me, that's like, yeah, one of those iconic covers that you end up framing. I'm going to frame it.
It helps when your byline's really cool on it, so you should frame it.
Well, yeah, but even if it was like somebody else's, like, I just think that moment, I mean, it's just like, it's hard not to appreciate what you're witnessing, you know? It's pretty cool, even if it, like, I almost had a heart attack in the moment.
Yeah, but it was wild.
Yeah.
Wow, we got some breaking news out of Houston. Steph Diggs out for the year. Wow. We knew he was hurt. Didn't know he was that hurt. All right, so Nikki, as much as we've all just been enjoying this and looking back, and there's a million different angles, and the video's incredible, and the Bears DB's an idiot, and all of that, it's kind of, you know, when you and I get to Ashburn tomorrow, we're looking at the Giants game, and and the organization's looking at 5 games until they're bye, and a couple of them look quite difficult, right? Let's start with a little bit of, like, injury cleanup from the weekend. Do you know why or what was up with Brian Robinson's lack of involvement in the second half?
I don't, honestly. He's been dealing, I don't know if it's injury related or if it was just circumstance, but he has been dealing with sort of that lingering knee injury.
Yep.
So I think they're trying to be cognizant of that, but, you know, it was a tight game. So that's on my list of things to get clarity on going into the week. But yeah, he's one of those that I feel like we're probably going to be monitoring week to week. Same with Jaden Daniels. I mean, he was clearly uncomfortable there late in the game after taking the hits that he did. And, you know, Quinn said even last night he's going to be week to week. So I'd imagine it's the same, maybe not to, you know, the same degree, but, you know, that, you know, if it's rib cartilage, as it was reported, I haven't been able to confirm that part, but if it is that, you know, that doesn't heal in 2 days. So, you know,
yeah,
something they'll
I talked to a surgeon I know last week as we were still trying to figure out if he was going to play. And basically the way the rib cartilage stuff was explained to me is it just heals when it heals. And you really can't set a timeline on it. And then it becomes a pain threshold thing. And Jaden is now, I'd argue, proven that the threshold is very, very high. So I don't think that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't have concern about Jaden against the Giants, barring something else or a setback or whatever.
Right.
The O-line.
I mean, it was very fortunate that he wasn't dealing with anything structural or like a fracture or anything. The only other possible injury that I questioned was like if it was a bone bruise or something, but you know, it was reported as a cartilage issue, so we'll see.
Right. The O-line, we saw Cornelius Lucas leave the game. Yeah. We saw him in the locker room with a boot on. Maybe you get Brandon Coleman back this week, cleared from the concussion, but still, your depth's starting to take some hits. Biotis has been so good. He's dealing with that beat-up thumb. I know Cosby and Allegretti got to have some aches and pains, certainly in their legs.
Yeah, I mean, it's you're getting to the point of the season where everybody does. The one I'm also concerned about is Wiley. I mean, he was slow to get up there on a number of plays. You know, is he dealing with something that, you know, nothing that has so far held him out, but that's another one to monitor. But Cornelius, yeah, seeing him in a boot, not good. I don't know how much of that is precaution versus, you know, they actually found something, but definitely the hope is to get, you know, Brandon Coleman back out there this week if he can clear the concussion protocol.
That would help a ton. Talking with our friend Nikki Jobvalla from the Washington Post. You can give her a follow at Nikki Jobvalla, NikkiJhabvalla. Let's switch it over to the defensive side of the ball. We saw the Johnny Newton that we were told about.
Yeah. He looks really good. He looked really good. I'm still trying to get clarity on that. What appeared to be a sack, but I guess they determined that Caleb was a runner then, so was it more of a tackle for loss? I still think he should get credit
BS.
For a sack.
I agree.
Yeah, I that's one where I'm pretty sure the team is going to submit that to the league to try to get credit for them. I mean, yeah.
But either way, that was a huge play. I did bring that up with a team official, and they said they would submit it. So they should.
Yeah, totally. I mean, because Johnny Newton bookended that game. I mean, two big plays on, first and near the end. And for a rookie to come in and do that, it really stepping in for John Allen, too. Like,
yeah.
I mean, this is why they really like the guy. This rookie class, I mean, I think it's magnified because of, you know, how poor previous rookie classes have been. But sure. Also, like, these kids are really good, too. But this rookie class has had an impressive impact so far. I mean, Mike Sanderson is really coming into his own, and he plays so much bigger than what he is. Jaden, obviously. These guys they're playing well. I think Coleman has really developed. If they could just get him back healthy, that would help. It's been a good class so far.
For sure. I think Sanderson, the level of physicality with which he plays is remarkable for a guy his size, and I don't think it's going away. I don't think it's going to change. I think that's just how he's wired. And
he plays fearless.
Totally. And when Saban talked about him the way he did, and then Peters talked about him the way he did when they drafted him, and Quinn, and you could just tell he's a different beast.
Totally.
So we talked Newton, we talked Sam Still. Defensively, all of a sudden, they're hot. They're averaging, they've given up 11 per game in the last two. They've climbed all the way up to 10th in the league in points allowed.
It's remarkable, given how bad they were to start, or, how out of sync they appear to start.
Totally.
You know?
100%. I mean, they gave up at least 33 in two of the first three games.
Right.
But how much of the success the last few weeks was a terrible Panthers team and Caleb Williams just playing awful for three quarters versus they forced the other quarterbacks to be bad?
I think both. I think this defense really is playing well together. They're playing more like, Dan Quinn and Joe Witt envisioned them playing, with that physicality and better communication, which is clear from the front to the back end. They still have their blitz, which can turn into big blips, like the DeAndre Swift run where, he forced four missed tackles, I think, on that one run. So they still have their moments that they need to clean up, but I think on the whole, they are playing much more in sync. They're able to create pressure. They're able to get home. The back end, they look like they know what they're doing out there. It's not always perfect, but there's definitely consistent improvement. and there's development, which, again, is something that we haven't seen in years, really, on either side of the ball. So to see that, I think, is that's what gives me the most optimism, is you see guys consistently improving. You see, you know, Luvu, I think, is he's unbelievable, that guy. Like, he's sort of the motor, the glue of that group. Him and Wagner in the middle. But, you know, I've been impressed by the defense and sort of their progress so far. I wasn't quite sure if they'd be able to turn it around. They have some talent, no doubt, but it's not like they have otherworldly talent. I think there's still depth concerns, especially corner. But they've, you know, made the most of what they have, I think.
I totally agree. I even said, B and I kind of argued about this after the Tampa game. I was like, I know that the offense can be much better. I know that week one, I kind of thought Jaden was just kind of getting used to stuff. Maybe he had happy feet a little bit better. I thought he could stay in the pocket and really show his arm and win from the pocket, and he's proven that. I wasn't sure that the defense would get better. And I think, dude, you watch the Giants last night, 11 penalties, god-awful two-point conversion call, and you wonder, like, is that a well-coached team? But then you watch Washington, and you're like, that looks like a well-coached team. You could see the difference.
Right. Totally. Totally. I mean, when I watched the Giants, I felt like no disrespect to the previous regime, but it feels like you're watching a lot of what Washington experienced in previous seasons. Now, when you watch them, it's, you know, it's a well-oiled machine. You know, it's not always perfect, but they are absolutely trending in the right direction. And I mean, let's be honest, a lot of it changes when you get a quarterback, too. I think the staff is good. I think they've done a good job of, you know, keeping it one message and developing guys. And, you know, you retweeted at first that clip of Micah Parsons Diggs on that podcast talking about what Quinn does for a group and instills confidence in players. I think there's a lot of truth to that. I mean, you can see it in guys too. But having a quarterback winning and having a coach that like really believes in what they're preaching, I think is sort of that trifecta that they've achieved so far.
It's been wild. So this is my new question. 5 games left to the bye. What's your prediction for the bye week record? 13 games in.
Oh, man. Are they 6-2 now? Who do they have left? They got the Steelers at home after the Giants.
They go Giants, Steelers at Philly Thursday night, Dallas at home, Tennessee at home.
I mean, there's a chance they could win all of those, right? I think they're a good team. Like,
I know. We got to get
a good team.
I think 9-4 is entirely reasonable.
Totally. I think so, too. I think the Steelers game will actually be tough. They look good.
Yeah.
I didn't think they would, but they do look good.
The Eagles have turned it around. The Steelers, with Russ Wilson, all of a sudden have a lot cooking up there.
And yeah.
The other three, I think Washington will be favored.
I do too.
And against the Titans, it might be two touchdowns.
Sort of a mess. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, like, I didn't know what to expect going into the season. I could have seen them being like the next Houston Texans or, you know, having another dud of a season just because they're trying to pull it all together. I thought eventually they'll be good because I think Jaden is good and the quarterback changes everything. So I'm still not sure. I think they're a good team, though. I mean, we've seen this consistently. I don't think it was, the Cincy game was clearly not a fluke. I think they're a good team. How much better is their opponent going to be? How much worse? I think 9-4 is a solid estimate there.
I don't remember for you. I know I've been covering these guys for a while, and even 2020. It was COVID. They were 7-9. There were fun portions, but it wasn't a fun year. What's the last fun year you had? Because there were some bad Broncos teams you covered, too.
My first year on the beat, they won the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was kind of a straight drop from there.
That was 15?
Because then it's 2015, yeah. Okay. So it was kind of the third wheel on the beat in 2014. So I got to see Peyton when he was still Peyton and still, like, that was awesome to see. And then 2015, you know, on the beat full time, and they won it all. Peyton was sort of a shell of himself, but that defense was incredible. And that was awesome. It was a fun team to cover. So much fun.
Yep.
And then you're trying to replace a franchise quarterback, one of the greatest of all time. So, you dealt with a lot of the same things that Washington has dealt with in recent years.
It's fun to have fun. Thank you, Nick. I appreciate
it. Of course. Thanks for having me.
That's Nikki Jobvalla. Give her a follow on X and Instagram. Read her work in the Washington Post.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You came in hot about the Yankee fans.
I think fans like that, that people are now celebrating this idiot, they need their asses kicked. Because what if him, by grabbing what's called arm, mess his shoulder or something up? And I think the ultimate thing is fans, yeah, you're in the game. Cheer. When you start touching people, you got a problem. And I have always respected fans. But I think anytime you touch a player, that player is allowed to beat the hell out of you. You know, do something. Because I think that was absolutely ridiculous what he did. You know, grab the glove and try to force the ball out. And the other little idiot next to him was trying at first. Then he realized, we're about to lose our stuff. And he quickly pulled his hands off of him. But the other dude should never be able to go to a sporting event again in his damn life.
So I guess ESPN or The Athletic, somebody caught up with these fans. If you live under a rock and are unaware of what happened last night, it was right in the first inning. There was a foul ball going down, and Mookie Betts of the Dodgers runs over to try to catch it. And these two Yankee fans, you ready for these names, B?
Mm-hmm.
Austin Capobianco and his friend John Peter grabbed the glove and then grabbed Betts, and all hell kind of broke loose. And the ump immediately called that it was an out, called fan interference.
Of course.
all right, so here are the quotes from this dude.
I got some names for him. Well, I can't say them on air.
All right, so ESPN somehow got quotes from this guy. We always joke about the ball in our area, Capobianco, 38, said at a local bar after the game. We're not going to go out of our way to attack. If it's in our area, we're going to D up. Someone defends, someone knocks the ball. We talk about it. We're willing to do this.
And both of them should be willing to never, ever attend another Yankees game or any MLB game and other sports should say you can't come to our games either.
Capobianco and Peter were escorted out of Yankee Stadium, but said they were told they would be allowed back for Game 5 Wednesday night. The Yankees did not immediately respond to ESPN's request for comment regarding if that was indeed the case.
If they allow them back and those same guys do something else, how does that look on the Yankees' part? Major League Baseball is about to send them one of those little secret little letters and say, that fool better not be in that game.
Well, you know me, and I tweeted this out last night, and I imagine thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people had the exact same thought. That the fact that it was immediately ruled an out made me so freaking mad and took me back to 1996 when that little weasel twerp dork, Jeffrey Meyer, reached over the wall and took a fly ball out of Tony Tarasco's glove in the ALCS against the Orioles that became a Derek Jeter home run.
Mm-hmm.
Where the hell was the call and the ump that night?
Well,
and I'm mad about it.
But you got to realize,
30 years later,
things have changed 30 years later, Jay, where the ultimate thing now is you have to – they always talk about integrity of the game. The leagues – have changed things a lot to make sure they don't have to deal with that. But these little fools, I'm not one going to be happy about it. Because I tell you, if I was playing a game and somebody was doing, I'm going to have some issues. But what if Mookie Betts had done something? Major League Baseball be trying to find him? Everybody be mad at Mookie Betts?
I don't think so.
But I mean, you say that, but every time a player responds to stupidity, the player is supposed to be so under control all the way to the end. And when coaches are never that way, fans are never that way, I just have issues with that.
I get it. Listen, if Mookie had punched one of them or something, it would have been fine by me, frankly. And Mookie said after the game, when it comes to the person in play, it doesn't matter. We lost. It's irrelevant. I'm fine. Everything's cool. We lost the game, and that's what I'm focused on. Because they did end up, for the first time, kind of getting smoked. The Yankees' bats came alive. Mm-hmm. Good morning to the boys in the aquarium. We got a pair of Yankee fans in the aquarium. I ask you gentlemen this. As the Yankee fans on the program, open up the stream. I think Jeff emailed it.
I did.
Oh, so we're just waiting on Jeff to make it live.
Don't tell me about what.
If you're looking to watch us on the stream, text Jeff. But
hold on, stop it. You just got in there, B. You wasn't in there for a minute. I know you were, JP.
But still, when I hit it, you should be ready to go. I mean, I hit it like 2.5 minutes ago.
I mean, anyway. So, Jeff, do you support that guy, Capo Bianco, trying to grab the ball?
Not at all. Dude, it's just crazy because you know how they always paint like crooks and sleazy people of New York? The 5 o'clock shadow, the black hat. He looked like he should have been like one of the thieves in Home Alone. Like he just looked like an overall sleazy guy. Look, JP, if I wasn't watching the game and I just seen that film come across like X or something, I would be like, oh, this is no way this is real. This is staged. I couldn't believe it, dude.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It does. I mean, it really, he looks like central casting of who the Yankee fan that would harass a Dodgers outfielder trying to catch the ball. It is, he really does look like straight out of central casting. Do you, Jeff, apologize for Jeffrey Mayer, whatever his name is?
Well, I'm not going to apologize for the actions of no other man, but just know all Yankees fans are not like that. He's an outlier.
You should. And Landini, what about you? Speaking on behalf of your Yankee fan brethren, Capo Bianco. Why is he wearing – you notice he's wearing a sliding mitt? You know the mitts these guys wear to steal bases with now? The weirdo's wearing one. Like, that is so bizarre. Maybe that's the guy next to him. And this guy, I mean, is literally trying to take it out of –
Yes.
It is – I mean, that is – I don't know. Those guys look like – they got a lot going on, and I'm just going to choose my words carefully there. We interrupt your regularly scheduled 4 hours of straight football talk because the Wizards have won 2 in a row, and they've done it in impressive fashion, and Bilal Coulibaly looks like a serious player. And to help us figure it out, we welcome in our friend Mr. Chase Hughes, Monumental Sports Network. Chase, what up, dude?
Not much, man. That song takes me back to covering the Nats. Reminds me of Jason Works.
There you go. I like it. Tell the truth. There's no way you expected them to be 2-2 through four games.
No, he expected them to be 4-0.
I did not expect them to be 2-2 through four games. Obviously, their two wins have come against the same team, the Atlanta Hawks. But the Hawks were in the play-in tournament last year. You know, they're not bad. I thought they had a really good offseason. And what's funny about that 2-2 record is the two teams they've lost to are arguably the two best teams in the league, the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics. Obviously, Boston won the title last year, and they're 4-1. And Cleveland is undefeated at 5-0. So it's not just 2-2, it's who they've played.
Yeah. Well, JP has been raving about Bilal Coulibaly. What are your thoughts on his plays thus far?
Oh, I mean, he has been so impressive. We knew he was athletic. We knew he could defend. But what he's done offensively this year has been, I think, a bigger leap than anyone expected to this point. He grew an inch over the past year, and he's 10 pounds.
Damn, he's still
bigger.
Growing.
He got
How
stronger.
Old is he?
Yeah. And he's still only 20, and he's still growing. But what I think been a huge effect from that is he's just so aggressive and confident when he's on the court. He's playing like he knows he's one of the biggest, most athletic players on the floor. And he worked a lot on his ball handling this offseason. You know, he broke his wrist down the stretch of last year, so he had to basically only do things with his left hand for a few months. And he got to work and improved his left hand. And you're seeing it in the numbers. He's getting into the paint like three times as often as he did last year. He's shooting really well from three. Last night he had 27 points. That was a career high, which surpassed a career high that he set two games before that. So he is becoming a much better offensive player than anyone expected, especially with the ball in his hands, because we saw him knock down shots from the perimeter on catch and shoots last year. But now he's been a primary ball handler and looking like he fits that part.
Bilal has been – seems like he's way ahead of schedule, even for the people that were most excited about him. Does that seem fair?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think there's a lot of people around the league that feel that way. I've talked to people from other teams who, you know, were picking and like beyond the lottery last year. And they said that, you know, as of like a month before the draft, they had their eyes on Bilal Coulibaly. Like they thought he was going to be there. And then, you know, he started being in the mix for a top 10 pick, and the Wizards ended up having to trade up to seventh to sort of ward off other teams to get him in that draft.
I'm going to show B. I retweeted you last night this clip. Watch this. This is Bilal on defense. The clip you posted late second quarter where Bilal makes the steal on the pick and roll, pushes. Watch this follow, B. So he's throwing it to Alex Saar, who you'd like to see finish. Ooh! dude, I hope you enjoyed the grunting there, Chase.
That's kind of interesting. I'm on both sides of the thing right here.
What is Saar giving them right now?
A lot of really good defense. He's blocking a ton of shots. He's had multiple blocks in each of his first four games. That's a franchise record to begin a career. And I believe it's the longest streak any player's had since Joel Embiid back in 2016 to start an NBA career. You know, he's showing up really well in terms of contested shots. And the thing, I think if I were to point to one stat that's really stood out to me, it's not just the blocks, it's not just the contested shots, but he's up there around top five in the league and contested three-point shots, which is absolutely not normal for a seven-footer. And I think it really illustrates the potential they saw in him to be a versatile player on both ends of the floor, but specifically on defense, someone who can cover a ton of ground and competently switch on to smaller players and hold his own on the perimeter, because that's just not something a lot of big men can do.
Isn't he more of a defensive guy, though?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think this whole draft class, honestly, was more defensive than on the offensive end. And, you know, taking a lot of flack for the lack of scoring. But for a team like the Wizards that wants to build a defensive foundation, which I think is really smart, because if you look at all the teams that go deep in the playoffs, they play defense, it really worked in their favor. And Bilal Coulibaly was a defensive pick. Now we're seeing the offense come around, but he was a defensive pick. And so was Alex Saar. And GM Will Dawkins has said that himself, that that was a guy that they targeted for their for his defense in particular, and they'll wait and see what he can do offensively over time. So I think they're evaluating him more so on the defensive end than they are with his scoring, but they like his potential there too, because as we've seen, you know, he made a play last night off the dribble where he threw a nice little pocket pass to block the ball. He can handle the ball. He can shoot a little bit from the outside. I don't think the percentages are going to be particularly high over the course of his rookie season, but you're also seeing flashes of his scoring as well.
I don't know who we need to talk to, but on Google box scores, they have Bub Carrington listed as Carlton Carrington. We need to get that fixed. Like, he should only be referred to as Bub and not Carlton.
Well, on his birth certificate, it says Carlton.
Yeah, but you always say don't give out my government, right? They need to chill with this.
You know, I tell you, don't give out my government.
How good has Bub been?
He's been really good. You know, the Wizards PR department had a great stat about him last night. He had a game, I think it was 16 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists. And he's the 6th youngest player to have that stat line. And the other guys that were ahead of him were like LeBron and Kevin Durant. Like, I mean, it was like a very exclusive group of players. So He's the youngest player on the team. He was 18 when he was drafted. They love his intensity and his mindset on both ends of the floor. I mean, he talks a lot of trash. He is a very aggressive player. Yeah, he's a very aggressive player getting into the paint. You know, I've been trying to avoid the phrase "he's a dog" because that's what people keep saying about him so often. It gets cliche, but he is a dog on both ends of the floor. And the Wizards, you know, they could use more of that. They need somebody. They need more players like that who are dogs on defense in particular, and he absolutely brings that.
Chase, he's a Baltimore kid, dude. He's got no choice.
It was in him when he came here. All right, we understand that they're doing a rebuild and all this stuff, but if you wanted to tell people about this team, how would you describe them to get people to say, I need to go check them out?
Well, they're very young, but they're also very big, and they're versatile, and they play hard. And I think, you know, however many games they win this year, that's sort of the characteristics that they expect to have when they get, you know, on the other end of this rebuild, whenever they're ready to compete for the playoffs or hopefully more than that. They want to have one of the biggest, most versatile teams in the league. So I think it's exciting to kind of watch those things sort of start to shine through because you know they mean something in the big picture. You know, whatever the stat line is for an individual player at the end of the game, you know, you don't want to make too much of that. But the style that they're trying to play, especially the defense that I talked about with Bilal Coulibaly and Alex Saar, like 5 years from now, however long it takes, they want that to be their identity. So I think it's fun to watch. It's always fun, you know, to watch really talented young players sort of find their way in any league. And the Wizards have a bunch of them right now because, you know, they made a few trades to get 3 first-round picks. They had the second pick, Alex Saar, the 14th pick, Bud Carrington, and, of course, also the 24th pick with Keyshawn George. It's not often that you could see that many first-round picks play on the same team as rookies. It ties the franchise record. It's only happened 2 times before for the Wizards. So, you know, they've got a lot of young talent that they're trying to develop right now.
We're talking with our friend Chase Hughes, Monumental Sports. You can follow him on all platforms, at Chase DC Sports. And I feel like you make really good TikTok videos. I've been enjoying them. I know that the Wiz are your profession and a passion, but I also know what the Commanders, the Skins, mean to you. And you've posted some really good content. Listen, I'm not going to get too excited about the Wiz from a win-loss standpoint. I am allowing myself to get excited about the young team they're building. And if you look at the track record of, I mean, especially Dawkins and OKC, like there's reasons to like this, right? The Commanders, though, we might have said that, and now we're at the halfway point of the season, and it's like, okay, we're excited about the future, but right now is exciting. How do you feel about the burgundy and gold?
I mean, really excited. I'm still sort of in shock at what happened on Sunday. It was the most surprising win I've ever seen them have, at least based on how the game finished. I was at the You Like That game. I've seen basically every game since the mid-90s, since Brian Mitchell was playing. But, you know, I was kind of trying to rack my memory what it reminded me of, and certainly the Monday Night Miracle. I think the most surprising win for me before this was probably in 06 when they blocked the field goal against the Cowboys and Sean Taylor ran it back and you know, had the face mask penalty to set up a game-winning field goal. But this was absolutely stunning. And my favorite part about it is I was able to watch that game with my family, and I could just tell, like, as it happened, that, like, that was going to be a special memory for me moving forward. And, you know, we haven't had too many games like that, and that's, like, kind of, I think, what makes football so beautiful, especially in this area, is just, like, you know, being able to share it with your family and your friends. And we just haven't had too many moments like that. And you know, on top of that, it felt like one of the first games where, like, okay, this is our team again. You know, when they rebranded, it was kind of like an expansion team, and it took a few years, but I feel like we're getting back to that. And obviously with Jaden Daniels, it's being taken to a completely different level.
Yes, it is.
All right, last one then. We've been asking this on the phones. How confident – you've been watching this team a long time. You know what has happened in the Meadowlands. How confident are you for Sunday game against New York in New Jersey?
I would say confident, but not like I heard a caller earlier say he's already on to the Pittsburgh game. I'm not saying that because
I'm glad he's not a player.
I mean, any division game in the NFC East, you can't overlook anyone. I mean, just think about on our side of things. Like, we would always get one. Like, remember Colt McCoy on Monday Night Football against the Cowboys? Like, anything can happen in the NFC East. So I would say,
bro, last week the Browns beat the Ravens. Division games,
yeah, I mean, exactly, James Winston. Yeah, so you just never know. You can't take it for granted. But certainly, I'm probably more confident than I've ever been going into a matchup against the Giants.
All right, Chase. Appreciate you. Hey, dude, listen to me on this. Monday night, Wiz Warriors. I would keep an eye around courtside for what could be some very broad-shouldered guests. Call it an educated guess on that one.
Wow. You know, I was just talking about this last night. I wonder when Jaden will show up to a game. I don't know if that's what you're referring to. But when he does, I have to think he'll get a pretty big applause.
It'll be interesting to see. Thanks, buddy.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, man.
All right. That's our friend Chase Hughes. Give him a follow at Chase DC Sports. B. Mitchell Finley on a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday. Nobody I would rather share a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull with than my man Santana Moss.
He gotta drink it just on the rocks.
Now, listen, everybody knows how good of a player Tana is. He's even cooler of a person, and yes. I mean that sincerely. Tana, man, what up?
My dog.
What's good, fella?
What's up, baby?
How y'all doing?
Man, we good, man. We still riding the high off of this game from last week, and now we're going up to the Meadowlands, and you know I could be up there. Your thoughts?
Yeah, the G-Man. The G-Man. Oh, my God. Yeah, we know how it is. But, you know, this team, man, this year, I feel like they all moved to a different beat, man. So I'm looking forward to it. I have a time of my life, man, when I'm covering the game, listening to you and talking with, you know, BC and everything. So I can't wait, man. Looking forward to it.
Tana, in your career, did you ever catch a Hail Mary?
No, never caught a Hail Mary. I remember running them things a million times. We used to do them so much right before halftime. I got sick of them. I'm like, bro, why we do this stuff before halftime? Like, it serves no purpose. You know, most quarterbacks don't want to get that incompletion. They don't want to have that on there. You know, they don't want to have an interception or something like that. And you used to get quarterbacks that basically told us, like, look, I'm trying to heave this thing out the back of the end zone. So don't even run down there full speed. You know what I mean? But, I never caught one, never been a part of a game that I was actually a part of that someone came down with one. So you can just imagine how I'm feeling about, you know, last week Sunday and the end of that game.
Well, I have to apologize to Tanner, man, because I high-fived him hard as possible.
I mean, I saw you guys in the tunnel. And
we were excited,
all
man.
All of us were in the tunnel, but it was that was an absolutely wild, wild feeling. Dan, I was curious. We just played some Terry McLaurin audio. I don't know if you heard that, but you know Terry really well.
Yeah.
How happy do you think? Honestly, dude, we were on the postgame show a couple years back when Terry was going into his contract year. And mm-hmm. I remember you talking to Terry about, hey, you really got to kind of judge your future and make sure it works out best for you.
Mm-hmm.
How happy are you as a wideout that Terry now has a quarterback like Jaden?
Well, you know, it's crazy because we've watched Terry for years, and he's got the job done regardless. But I can feel the energy is different from him. You know, I remember, I talk about this every time I get a chance to speak on Terry is after that Cincinnati game, man, that night he came and gave me a hug. B. Mitch, remember this.
Yeah.
He came and gave me a hug, and he said they could cancel Christmas now because the young man knows that he can count on me. That's all I needed. And I remember that little bit from him because that's what every receiver feels. Once the quarterback understands who he has as a target, I mean, the sky's the limit. And I think that's what you're seeing right now. Like, you can look back at all those games and you kind of put them all together, and you can see Jaden was slowly trying to find out who is his guy. And now it's like he don't even think about it. When he see Terry with that favorable matchup, bam.
Go to him.
You know what I mean? And that's what you saw last week, man. When you saw that big, you know, he tried to go to him on the sideline on a little comeback. It was a little too high. And he came back the exact next play, and hit him 60 yards down the field. So that's what he feels when he's out there with Terry. And Terry let him know that from day one. What I love about him, man, Terry's one of those guys. He's up close and personable, man. You know, he's talking to Jaden, you know, day in and day out, trying to find, you know, more things that they can do and more things that can make that connection comfortable. So I love listening to him, man. Well-spoken, and I love watching him go out there and do his thing on the field as well.
Tanner, you play with a lot of different quarterbacks. And, you know, Terry, he started off his career. He got it done with the guys he had, but now he has a special one. When you get somebody special, how does that what's the feeling you get as a receiver?
I think you feel like that you ever play Mario Brothers when he he ate that mushroom and he just on fire. He's just running, that's how you feel, man. You feel like you can't be stopped. You feel like, man, you know, one of the things that I felt with Mark Brunell is the same thing I felt with Benny Testaverde when I was in New York. It's like, it's nothing you could present to me that's going to stop me unless you double me. And even when they double me at times, Mark or Benny found a way to get me the ball. And that's what I'm seeing now with, you know, with this connection with Jaden and Terry. There's nothing you can do to stop these guys. And one of the things that goes along with having two dynamic players like that is having a great OC who can dial it up for you. So that's one of the things I'm love to sit back watching that. You see Cliff is in his bag, but those guys are allowing Cliff to be in his bag because they're going out there and getting the job done every time he calls that play, and that's what you want from your guys.
Talking with Santana Moss, over 10,000 career receiving yards, 66 NFL touchdowns. Tana, you know, one of the things that was pretty interesting over the last week is people were trying to figure out where that moment ranked as far as Washington wins. And one win that got brought up all the time was on your back, the Monday Night Miracle in Dallas when you caught those two touchdowns late in the game. How did this one feel for you as somebody, you know, obviously you work for the organization, but like this organization is a part of your life. How did it feel for you to see them hit the Hail Mary?
I was lost for words. I didn't know how to, you know, actually sit there. I mean, we was getting a chance to talk about it and, you know, they asked me to share my, you know, sentiments on it. And I couldn't share them. I didn't know what to say because I was still on the high, you know what I mean? But I think when you look back at different game winners, you know, I kind of mentioned the one that I did with Jacksonville also, that overtime game at home in Jacksonville when, you know, as a fan and as an alumni watching it, I remember the feeling of me catching that pass on the sideline, the left sideline, going into that same end zone against Jacksonville in overtime in 2006. To me, I put that memory of my, you know, walk-off, you know, game-winning touchdown in front of the Cowboy game, but I understand what the Cowboy game meant, you know, the Monday Night Miracle meant, because that was Monday night. It was a lot of other stuff riding on it. But when you compare all those, man, I think the one that we just saw, the Hail Mary, got to be number one. I think it has to be number one. I think just for the sake of just where our team is at right now, with the organization, with all the fans coming back into the stadium, just seeing the wave presented in the stadium, man. I mean, you add all that stuff that's being brought to the atmosphere, and then to finish a game like that, a game that you had already had won, you had wrapped up, and then you let it slip away late in the game, and then you find a way to say, oh,
took
not
it back.
So fast. Yeah. Here you go. You know what I mean? Here you go. And, I mean, that's why I feel like it ranks number one, because it was just one of those things that you didn't expect us to have that moment, because that game was won. And then we had to go out there and dig deep and say, oh, you know what? We don't have quit in us. So here you go.
Yeah.
And you know, and I think that what keep resonating with me, we were leaving, what was it, Cincinnati? Mm-hmm. And I forgot her name. A young lady said, y'all riding the car with me to the airport. And when she started talking about everything is different now, this is a family. Everybody is working for the same common cause. Every time I see another step, her voice keeps resonating in my ear about the togetherness and how things are right now.
Yeah. I mean, you can feel it, though, B. I mean, you know, when we around those guys, man, I like to look at folks' eyes. You know, I'm one of those guys, even though I'm not, you know, the guy that's always, you know, talking to everybody, I'm an observative. So I'm observing everything. You know, I'm observing who is who and what is what. And, man, I just like the energy I feel from just the staff alone. You know, everybody seems like they're about their business, but when you speak to them, man, they all polite. You know what I mean? They welcoming. They don't give you that standoffish, like, I don't want to be spoke to, like, I don't want to be around you. They understand, man, we all one. We all a family. And, you know, you kind of – I'm one of those guys, too, also, when it comes to being a guy that I played here. I don't walk around saying that I should be treated a certain way because of what I've done here. No, I understand, man. It's their time now. Yep. You know what I'm saying? I'm just happy to be a part of it. So the energy is everything, and I think energy sets the tone for all that you're able to do, especially positive. You know, positive things. And I think that's one of the things that all the guys talk about, how, you know, this coaching staff kind of present that kind of energy when they come into the building. Like, look, this is supposed to be fun, you know. And like one of the guys we just talked to, he talked about how, you know, they have the music going on, you know, in some of the meeting rooms before they sit down and watch, you know, film and all that stuff. Like, that stuff get guys out of whatever they could be going through. I remember having moments, man, in my career where home wasn't just, you know, it wasn't right. You know, I had stuff going on, you know, personally that I needed to get away. And when I stepped in that building, that's where I went out there and escaped from the madness. Mm. You know what I'm saying? That's why I love playing the game, because I got on the field and I was able to, you know, whatever I had going on mentally at home or you know, off the field, I was able to, you know, not think about it while I'm between those white lines. And I think that's what guys look forward to. So when you have a coaching staff that understands that, they bring that kind of energy out of you, man, it means the world. And that's why you see these guys going out there, landing on the line for this staff, landing on the line every play for their teammates and for their brothers.
It is really remarkable, because even in my capacity, I could feel the difference. Mm-hmm. But, Tan, I wanted to tell you this, and I know the folks in Ashburn pay attention. I went on NBC4, I don't know, 2 weeks ago when they were retiring Daryl Green's jersey, and that was much deserved. I think they got to get you in the Ring of Fame, man. I heard you
mention that, man. I meant to tell you, I appreciate that. You know, I'm one of those guys, man. When it come, it come. You know, if I'm worthy of it, then I can't wait to receive it. But you know, I'm never going to be the person that say, hey, you know, what about me? I think that's
my job. I'll do that for you.
Yeah, most definitely. So I appreciate you. You'll be my spokesman. I'm gonna send some shirts and some hats for you, since you want to, you know, go ahead and be the front.
All good. Yo, what do you think? So it's obviously a big game. If you can get to 2-0 in the division, I mean, Philly's got Jacksonville coming to town. It's hard to think that doesn't end up being an Eagles dub. What do you think happens Sunday?
You know, Giants are always a tough match. And I think, you know, with that being said, this team is going to work their behind off this week, knowing what the Giants presented to us last time around. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the first game where we played the team before already this year. Now they know a little bit about us. So we got to go in this game with a different kind of game plan. You know, this is where I'm going to be sitting there watching and say, what do Cliff do offensively that's going to show these guys something that they saw last time? And he either say, I'm going to change it, or I'm going to either say, hey, you know what? Yeah, I know you saw this last time, but stop it again. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So this is now the one of those games where we're really going to see what this team is made of, because when you get a division play, that's one thing. But when you get a division play with a team that's riding high with a first-year quarterback, first-year offense, now you get the chance to play a team that you played and beat already. Let's see how they step up or match up this second time around. So the Giants is the first team that's going to face us twice already. Yeah. And we know how tough it was last time. Let's see if it's that tough this time. But I do believe our team is a much better team from week two. I think collectively, offensively, defensively, special teams-wise, you know, special teams won us that game in week two.
Yeah.
I think right now going forward, we've seen our defense rise. We've seen our offense get better. And now just kind of go out there and play. You know, I think this staff is going to have these guys prepared, because they understand what it takes week in and week out to go out there and be dominant. And I'm just looking for a good game, man. But I also believe that we win the game. I don't think it's going to be one of those games where everybody else trying to put that juju on us, man. Oh, you know, the Giants. Yeah, I know the Giants, but this is a different year and a different team. So let's not think about the past.
Let's get touchdowns, baby.
Different year, different team, same Santana. We love you, man. Thanks for making time for
Tanner,
us. Man. Well, I got a dinner reservation tomorrow night, Tanner, depending where you're at.
I'll let me. I'm down.
All right. Santana Moss, the great. Follow him on Instagram at
my road dog.
8-2-9. Be getting everybody in trouble.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.